Greetings, salutations, and welcome to the Planestalkers Podcast, the show by casuals for casuals. I'm your host, Will Benson, joined as always by my boy, did we have Ikoria fun this weekend, co-host Aramis Perez. Aramis, how are you, sir?
You know what? I didn't get to play as much as I would have wanted to, but I had fun.
Yes, it was a fun weekend. In fact, let's get right into it.
Untap, upkeep, and draw.
Untap, upkeep, and draw. Okay, so we have a ton of stuff going on tonight. First of all, before we do anything else, I want to thank our sponsor, Kerwin's Game Store. This show and every show we do is sponsored by them. Kerwin's Game Store is New York State's premier source for collectible card games, tabletop games, miniatures, comic books, retro video games, and toys. With their clean, open gaming areas, and especially cleaner now, Steve was telling me this week, he was in there going nuts. Available to everyone at no charge, Kerwin's provides a fun and inviting atmosphere for new and experienced gamers alike, with locations in Catskill and now on the second floor of the Poughkeepsie Galleria. Kerwin's Game Store is the best place in gaming. Don't forget, folks, you can get 5% off any online order when you use the promo code Planestalkers at checkout. And we also want to take a minute to recognize our Planeswalker level patrons. That's Ian, Walter, George, Josh, and Zach, who really, really helped the show out in so many ways. We did draw for our events in April, and George sent me the Play the Host contest deck, and I just got to get some time with him. Last week, you and I did Walter's Play My Deck, and that was a lot of fun. It was a red cavalcade, and I got to put the deck list up on that. So that was a lot of fun. We had a good time there. If you want to get into these drawings, guys, next month we do it again. Just go to patreon.com/planestalkers. You can find out more information. We're also tonight, our show is going to be dealing with mainly, we're going to talk a little bit of Ikoria. It's out on Arena. It's not out on paper. So don't rush to Walmart or anything like that. You can't get it yet. Companions, we're going to talk about the mechanics that are out there right now, companion mutation. We're going to talk about a banning that happened this weekend. It was a technical banning. It wasn't like a banning, but MTGO. We're then going to go into combat and try to figure out, we're going to try to discuss if we think there's going to be a banning from this set, and if so, which one. In main two, we're going to talk about Arena's weekend events, which was pretty much a sealed and draft. And other stuff like that. And then we'll update you guys on where we're at with our Ikoria Winnabox League. So the bracket challenge is in full effect. We've played 3 out of 4 matches. Ian and his competitor are going to be playing probably within the next day or two, I hope, because Wednesday we pick a winner. And then we'll go to, you know, emails. So that's, we got a nice full show, but as we always do, it is on tap. So tonight I'm having... what is it? Stone Brewery. I'm having called Fear Movie Lions.
Oh.
FML is the name of the beer.
How apropos for the way things have been going the last, what?
Yeah,
forever.
Seriously. This is a
very apropos.
This is one of those nights, yeah.
Quick shout out to Walter in the chat. Congratulations, yeah. Man. Hopefully everything goes good. That's going to be awesome.
What did he say?
He says his son will be watching the podcast in 2 weeks. He comes home for the first time after 18 months in ICU.
Oh, wow.
That is great news, man.
Yeah, seriously, 18 months in ICU. I mean,
that's a whole bucket of suck right there.
Oh, it really is. And we're very glad to hear that, dude. You know, other than that, let's see who else we got. We've got Mike Sieberts in there. So he's talking about some of the Arena issues we're having. We got Steve... he's played, I think. I think Steve is Steve. I think he won his first one.
Steve.
Mike Hiram is in there. Justin is in here. So we've got a good crew tonight. So
welcome.
Yes. So it's a good time. But you know, Aramis, how the heck are you, man? How you been?
You know, it's just, it feels like every day something new comes up, and it's sort of like, okay, that's a new thing I didn't think was going to happen. When it comes to the things going on in the world and
right.
Then things happening in Magic and stuff happening at home, you know, just it's been an adventure. I mean,
it's an interesting time. We're in strange times.
I finally understand the old Greek curse, may you live in interesting times.
I don't understand that curse at all.
I never knew why it was a curse, but now I get it, because if it's these are interesting times and we don't want anything to do with them.
Well, I remember when I used to be, you know, I used to go on dating sites before I got married again, and one of the questions that they used to ask on there was like, do you think it would be exciting living through an apocalypse? And I'm just like, no, but it is exciting. I mean, things are happening, but no.
Yeah, everything that's happening, you're like, what the crap is this? Why this? Oh, God, why?
I don't understand. Again, I'm just going to say this to everyone out there. And okay, I don't care where you sit politically. Stay the hell home. All right. Just listen to the leaders. Okay.
Listen to people who
for God's sake,
people who went to school for this stuff.
Oh my gosh, this is not a. And I'm here. We go right on my soapbox of FML. Like, I'm sorry, but at the end of the day, this is not. An idea to steal the election or anything like that. They're not trying to shut the economy down to make anybody look bad. It's a scary damn thing. My uncle is fighting for his damn life right now. All right. He's in a hospital. He's got double pneumonia. They put him on a vent last week. I mean, he's in trouble. The man is like 78,000 years old. I mean, he's healthy, but for God's sake, you know, stay the hell home.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't care how old you are. I don't care whether you're like, oh, I'm fine, because nobody dies if they're in their 20s. People do. And even if you don't, you can kill somebody else. So just stay the hell home. But, you know,
seconded.
You know, don't worry about wearing a mask. That seems a bit far. No.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if your state says to do it, then do it. Just listen to what the folks in charge say. You know, there's no agenda behind this. So put your tinfoil hats down. That's for us to talk about why Wizards won't reprint the fetch lands. That's what the tinfoil hats are for.
Oh boy, did you watch The Professor?
Ooh.
Last week?
You know what?
You know what? I should put that link right on the screen. I'm gonna find it.
Yeah.
But you can kind of talk about it because boy did he go off.
Yeah, so if you guys recall, back when they first announced the Fetchlands being put into the Ultimate Edition of Secret Lair, they had The Professor preview them. Along with the Chandra cards coming up for the Chandra Planeswalker set. And they were on camera saying that we think it should be, you know, cost around $165, maybe a little more. A little more than $165. And yeah, no, that's not happening. You know, places are selling for $300-$400. And he did another video, his typical series of is it worth it to buy X magic product?
Right.
And this one was Secret Lair Ultimate Edition. And it was basically a very emphatic F no.
I mean, it wasn't even that. He got salty about it.
Well, yeah, because
like he was like at one point, he's like, okay, if you buy each of these, it's $250. If you buy one of these, of the secret lairs, it's up to about $350, $400. Is this a good deal? And then he spent like 2 minutes waiting for somebody to look at things and go, no, this is probably not a good deal.
No, it's not. And basically what he was saying was that, oh man, I completely lost my point there for a second.
Sorry about that.
No, it's fine. He was basically saying that, you know, Wizards has spent the whole time not acknowledging the secondary market. And they're basing their pricing on these off of the secondary market. So they're acknowledging it by not acknowledging it, but they're kind of acknowledging it. It's sort of that doublespeak crossways bullshit stuff that they've been doing. Mm-hmm. And he's got a great point. I really respect the way that the professor is blunt and honest, and he doesn't really care if he insults Wizards, but he's always constructive.
Yes, and it is constructive.
Always
he
constructive.
Was constructive about it. He's like, this is bad. And he went and he used the Commander Anthology as an example. He's like, here's what this cost. Here's what was in this set. This cost, I think he said, retail was about $168, $170.
Yeah, you got 400
he's like,
cards.
It was a $400 set. He's like, easy. If you bought each of these by themselves, he's like, the value was there.
Yeah, well, and you're also getting 400 cards.
Right. He's like, the value was there. He's like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah,
and I mean, you know, and he's right. So listen, if you need, and he's, you know, I hope that he follows up with Wizard. He was constructive. He said, you know, they told us that we will get a meaningful reprint of these this year. He's like, please put them in master sets from now on. He's like, they should be in every master set. They should be like Sol Ring. They are a key to running Modern or Legacy.
But we don't even know if there's
Commander.
Actually going to be a master set. I mean, the only other thing that's even close to that is going to be Commander Legends. Are they going to put it in there?
That's what he was thinking. He's like, is it going to happen in Legends? And he's like, I don't know. And do we have a price yet on Commander Legends? And no, I know there's no MSRP.
I think it's a regularly priced, it's either the $4 regular $4 boosters or it's like $7 boosters. It's sort of, I think it's either normal or like in between that and what the master sets have become, where it's like $14 a pack, which I hope is not that much. I think they were planning on it being closer to Modern Horizons as far as their pricing. So, you know, $6, $7, $8 a pack, which is a lot, but it's not terrible.
He's like, if you can crack these in a pack, that's the truth. If I'd rather crack them in a pack than buy them. I really would.
And he said, put them at rare. They don't deserve to be mythics. They're not mythic cards.
Yeah. If you haven't seen it, again, it was up on the screen for a little while. Maybe I'll post it into the chat too.
And he's good to watch for a bunch of other things too. Like, especially if you're a newer player, he has a lot of stuff that could be helpful.
He's really a great guy. He's awesome. I'd love to, one of these days I'd love to interview him.
Yeah.
You know, be like, listen, I know you have your own show and I get it, Card Kingdom, and maybe you have to, we'll mention him. I don't care. But, you know, yeah. Cause I mean, he just seems like he'd be a balls fun interview.
Yeah. He seems like a good guy.
So, I mean, this week's been a crazy week as far as news has gone. In fact, why don't we just get right to it?
Main Phase.
Welcome to Main Phase. Okay, so we've got quite a bit going on. As everybody knows, Ikoria released 2 Arena on Thursday. It was a good time.
Mm-hmm.
I played it after work, only after work. If anybody here from work is listening, I didn't play during the day. I played after work. Dear God, I played after work. Please don't ask to see any of my internet stuff, though. I did. I rolled up after work a little bit, and I got in some time playing. And, I was pretty lost. I got the set, too. So... I got my packs and I opened my packs and got some decent stuff in the packs. And then, for the most part, though, I was pretty happy with it. And then I rolled into, I think it was Friday night. I was going to try to do, like, we were going to try to do Friday night Magic Sealed. Mm-hmm. And I got a little sick. I was not feeling good. I was not feeling like I could do a broadcast. But then I was laying in bed going, I should just, you know. So I rolled up my laptop a little bit and I got in and played a little sealed and I had a blast. I made this black red mutate deck with what's its face's companion, and dude, I had a blast with it.
Sweet.
It was a lot of fun. I didn't get to do live drafting because the thing about it is, and maybe this is a thing, you didn't get to draft, did you?
I didn't get to draft. I wanted to. I just didn't. I wanted to do the sealed first. So I had two tokens to play sealed.
Everybody got 2 tokens and then a draft token.
Yeah, so I used those up, and then because I got started up a little bit later, so it was too late for me to do any drafting on Friday night. I didn't get to play on Thursday night, and this weekend was crazy for us at home. So
right.
I didn't get a chance to play. I'm still going to work normally, so even though I had a half a day today. When I came home, I had to help my son with his schoolwork. So I haven't gotten a chance to do a draft yet. I'm really, really, really hoping to get at least a few in this week because I've been watching, whenever I can, I've been watching Kenji Igashira. I've been watching Numot stream, and when he drafts, and it looks like a great set to draft. It looks like so much fun.
It's kind of Dominaria. It's got that same feel at draft.
Dominaria, but
it
like,
really does.
Dominaria, but the power level's higher.
Oh, it's Dominaria on crack. Yeah. Don't get me wrong.
It looks like so much fun, and it's just I can't wait to really to be able to dive in and just do a bunch of drafts. I did a bunch of Theros drafts, had a lot of fun with that set, and this set looks better than Theros.
I do think that there was, I do think that there's something to be said for the live drafting, in that you said it best. You're a drafter, you know. You are. You're a drafting guy. Okay, you like to draft. Mm-hmm. But you were not able to draft this weekend. Why? Because in-person drafts are going to take a while.
Yeah.
I think there is definitely something to that, that in-person drafting is going to be one of those things that you have to schedule and you have to do. So
yeah,
you might be right.
You have to know that, you know, when I go on Arena tonight, I'm going to draft. I'm going to probably play 2 drafts. And that's the time I'm going to have. Whereas, you know, if you decide to draft with a bot, you're like, yeah, screw it, I'll draft. And then, you know, literally 2 minutes later, your draft deck is done and you're playing. This one, you know, the draft itself could take about 15, 20 minutes.
Right. Well, we don't know. They have up to 76 seconds, I think, for the first couple of packs.
And the time reduces with each card in each pack. So,
right.
But, you know, that's what drafting is supposed to be.
Oh yeah, you know? I'm not complaining.
Yeah, no, I'm just.
And I haven't had the chance to do it either. I plan to do it when I have time, but I mean,
and you get the actual draft experience, and you get to draft the actual meta, in a sense, because it's not the bots taking the card, so you actually do have to pay attention to. Okay, you know, I opened these three really good cards for my deck. I have to hope that one of these wheels. So I have to remember that it's in this pack, in case I see it later. You know, so you sort of build with potential other picks in mind, and you know, it's just
well, it's not just that you're looking at colors.
Looking at colors,
you have to investigate what they're playing and be like, you know, if you start not getting handed a lot of red, you've got to know that the guy sitting before you is playing red, and that's going to change maybe how you draft in round two.
Yep,
you know, like you may try to deny him a few red cards,
and even though
the
odds are low, especially after the first round. Since this works similarly to the way that leagues work in MTGO, it's entirely possible in round one that you will get paired against someone in your pod. So you still also have to keep in mind the cards that were taken. Whereas in the bot draft, you're just like, click, 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 I don't care, whatever. These are other cards, I don't care about these cards. They're not in my deck, they're not going to show back up. Whereas this one, you're like, all right, I passed an ultimatum. I might see that deck. So I have to be ready.
Exactly. So I definitely, you know, Ikoria came out and... It is worthwhile. It really is. I am disappointed a little bit. It does feel weird to have it electronically. And then, you know, I was in Walmart the other day, and I'm like, usually with a new set on release day, I'm like, I'm going to go and take a look, see if they have any packs. Maybe I'll pick up a pack or two or a collector booster. And, you know, I'm like, oh, yeah.
It wouldn't have even released until this week.
I know, but it's still one of those things where you're just kind of like...
Speaking...
We don't have it to look forward to. It's not happening until at least May.
Yeah, at least the middle of May. And speaking of, though, I don't know if you saw this, but Wizards, they goofed again.
Oh?
Yeah. You know how they have the alternate art stuff and the showcase cards and all that nonsense?
Right.
There are three cards that were from the Japanese printing.
Okay.
They're in Japanese, and they were going to show up, I believe, in collector boosters.
Right.
They forgot to include them with the collation in all of the product. And it's the...
Oh, dear.
It's the Moth... It's the Mechagodzilla card. It's the Mothra's Egg card. And I forget what the last one is, but it's the one that's the bat that flashes in to kill stuff.
Right.
And then the Mechagodzilla is the Crystalline Giant, which I'll talk about that in a second for Limited. And then the other one is the... Mysterious Egg, which is a common. So those three cards are in Japanese, and they would have shown up in collector boosters, but they're not. So what they have to do now is that they're going to be shipping LGS's copies of these cards to hand out to people who buy collector boosters, because they're not going to show up in the collector boosters like they were supposed to.
That's going to change the value on them, I'm sure.
Yeah, and they
depends on how many they're handing out.
And they also weren't going to show up in regular boosters anyway, so the only place you would have seen them was collector boosters. So yeah, they made a goof with their print runs. Which is very, I mean, they make mistakes a lot, but doing something like that it's been a long time since we've seen them do something like that. Completely forgetting cards that are supposed to be in booster packs?
It happened last set.
Which card was in packs that wasn't supposed to be, or needed to be?
Remember, they didn't give us the lands, so we had to be given the lands?
Yeah, but that was just a pre-release thing.
Okay.
This is in the regular product that was supposed to be.
Yeah, but it's still...
Because the pre-release foil lands was a one-time gig, and that was an error in their foil to non-foil print, whatever the, you know, button they were supposed to push. This one is, you know, you will literally not be able to collect the entire set unless you get these cards from a game store and they hand you the card.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
So they made a boo-boo. Not a huge one. I mean, it's they're fixing it. They're apologizing for it. You know, they said, you know, we messed up. And they've been doing a lot these days, but overall, still a good set.
Yeah, I can't complain about it. I mean, you know, we should definitely talk a little bit about, like, all right, so I'll say this, okay? I still don't think I was wrong on Companion. I think Companion everybody's playing with it right now. It's big. I still say I'm not wrong on it. Now, that doesn't mean Garuda as a Companion. If you could sit there and say I was wrong. But Garuda as a companion is a thing. I'm going to go with that. It's still, it's Diet Commander a little bit. It's an assured you know what you're going to play turn six or whenever you can get it out. You know, the idea is that you're going to be able to play this card that kind of makes your deck go off. Two things about that, though. Like, all right, so I've been playing Garuda today. I did build a Garuda ramp deck. Mm-hmm. First of all, here comes the explicit. Fucking ow. Like, damn. Like, that deck is... Nobody's cracked the code yet. I get that.
20 power.
And Arena doesn't know how to put it... know how to put cards against me. Like, they were... I was playing it today, and I could tell that their matchmaking software is really trying to figure out how to put this in. Because I ended up playing like a white life gain deck. Then I went to a mono red deck. Then I went to a Simic Flash deck. Then I went to the mirror. Then I went to some weird black white deck. Then I went, like, I was running. Usually if you're playing mono red, you know you're going to get mono white. You know you're going to get maybe a flash deck. You're going to get mono blue. 9 times out of 10, best of one.
Well, yeah.
You just are.
There hasn't been a major event. There won't be a major event for a while. Right. So it's a little bit of Wild West out there. At the same time, though, 20 power on turn 4 in standard is beyond crazy.
Well, what card is that?
That's Garuda.
How do you get him to 20?
20 power worth of creatures on turn 4.
Oh, yeah. 20 power worth of creatures. Oh, it's ridiculous.
And it's consistent as hell, yes, from what I've read.
It is. Well, especially, all right, I kept a 2-land hand. Like, I was playing it today. I was testing this thing. I'm like, I want to see what this does. Okay, 2-land hands usually in Arena, you're like, hell no, I won't go. But I had a 2-land hand, and I had Simic. And by the way, guys, the Simic is the way to go. You don't do Bant. Don't, dear God, don't put a third color in this thing. Keep it Simic.
Bant or Simic or Sultai?
Yeah. Simic actually seems so much more stable to me. Simic is really, like, so he's my companion, so all my stuff is even. So you're not getting, you know, you don't have the dude that takes away things, and you don't have, you know, any 3-drops, any 5-drops. It's all even numbers. Holy cow, though, I didn't miss it. Like, I'm like, damn.
Yeah, it's a thing.
It is stable. I kept a 2-land hand. Churn 2, Growth Spiral. Pull the land, put it down. Churn 3, it's the enchantment that lets you tap for 2. Now I've got 5 mana on the board because I got my fourth land drop. On turn 3, I got my land again that I needed, and then I played the enchantment. So now I've got 5 lands on turn 5. I've curved right in, and I also had Paradise Druid out. So, whew, turn 5, here comes Garuda.
Yeah, so I think the nuts draw is... You know, it's land go, land, Paradise Druid, or some other ramp. Turn 3...
Or Growth Spiral is usually
whatever ramp spell. Yeah. Turn 3, you're casting them. I think it's Migration Paths, the one that you search for 2 lands. So on turn 4, you have 6 mana. You slam down Garuda, which slams down a Spark Double, which probably slams down a Thassa or another Spark Double. And there you go, 20 power.
Yeah. Well, putting Thassa out there, now, you know, it's... Here's the thing. I want somebody to figure out a mill deck with this damn thing.
That's actually one of the alternate win conditions for the deck as the game goes along. You sit back and wait, and then you just mill them out.
Because, like, it seems to me like there's got to be some way. I kind of wish the one card there that was in Standard a few years ago that was like, you know, whatever you put in your graveyard, put that many in your graveyard. I was like...
Oh, a Psychic Corrosion.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that card.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah. because I had gone back to last week's audio when we were thinking about ideas for the show, and I didn't mention Garuda when I was talking about the companions. I did say that companion was potentially dangerous. It was one of those ones where it's a build around. I wasn't sure. You were saying that it was maybe good for limited, but that you didn't think it was going to make any kind of impact. Obviously, like you said, the meta hasn't been figured out, but right now, I mean, this is...
It's the best deck.
It's
That's
scary.
The most stable deck in Standard.
Yeah, it's scary good.
And let me put it to you this way. It is Simic. I am not playing Uro. I'm not playing Hydroid Krasis. I'm not playing Nissa.
Yeah, you don't care.
I am playing green without any of those 3 best green cards in Standard.
Oh, and by the way, what rotates out? Those 3 cards.
No, Uro doesn't rotate. Uro's kind of like the Hydroid Krasis replacement.
Uro sticks around, but yeah.
It's definitely... It it's going to be the most stable. I'm going to start building it. Luckily, I have the four spark doubles I need. Like, that's just it. It's also not that expensive a deck. Garuda is going to be the hardest thing to get.
Well, yeah, because Garuda, hashtag MTG Finance, is already spiking.
Yeah.
It's up to like $12 or $13 already as a rare.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Maybe I should order it.
Which is around the level that Teferi's at right now.
Yeah. My wife needs to not be in the room. It's at 11 right now.
Yeah, it went up like $9 in the last couple of days.
It's at 11 right now. It's weird. The extended art's 1066.
That happens.
So
supply and demand.
So. Oh my gosh, though. The market price. Yeah, you know what? I'll just show the screen because you guys know I like TCG Player here. Let me show my screen because this is a very, very strange thing. Oh my god, I sound like the Mandarin. And they'll never see me coming. All right, so take a look at this, though. All right, this is the TCG Player, you know. All right, 878, market price 1102. That's fine. 4449, 4482. Garuda, market price 1066 for extended art, but they're selling it for 70 or 60. You people insane. If I was going to get anything anyway, I'd want to get the Gigan.
The Godzilla one, yeah.
Yeah, because the Godzilla card looks more fun. But it's pretty...
Card's pretty good. And the funny thing is that other than the...
I think that's going to be the big thing.
It's all the ETB, if you think about it. Because, I mean, it's a 6-6 for 6, which is, you know, that's a decent-sized creature, but it doesn't do anything else besides the fact that...
Well, with Spark Double, it's 7-7.
It's a 7-7, yeah. And then, you know, you dig up a Endrace Forerunners, and they're all 8-8 and 9-9 tramples with Vigilance.
Oh, and Haste. Oh, no, they don't have
Haste. He doesn't give them Haste, which I was like... Why the Forerunners? But then I was like, oh, well, you cast another Garuda or you cast another Spark Double. You hit that. Okay, I get it.
Yeah.
And it's just, for turn four, there's not a lot of decks that can be like, I can't kill that many creatures or ones that are that big.
It goes sideways fast. Now, I mean, it's going to die to counters.
Yes, Azorius.
Counter spells kill it. And that's the thing. That is the thing that I was talking about the other day, is that the one thing I don't like is the fact that, all right, so if I'm playing Garuda as my companion, mm-hmm. all right, if I'm playing a control deck, even if you don't have, this is my first piece of free advice, even if you don't have a counterspell and you're playing like Azorius Control, you save 4 mana on turn 6. Make them think you've got it. Because I was playing a control deck, I'm like,
you got to be able to bait them out. You have to be able to bait out the control player. Make them think that the card you're casting is more important than the one you actually want to cast.
Like, that's the one. Thank God they didn't say, hey, by the way, this is uncounterable. I'd be like, oh, Jesus.
Well, I mean, you're also playing blue, which means you can defend it.
You can. And that's just it. It's, you know. On turn, but there isn't a lot of, in that deck, in the ramp deck, there's no counters. It's all,
maybe
get my lands out,
maybe
get
some,
everything out.
Maybe some Mystical Disputes in the sideboard, I'm sure.
Actually, I don't think so. What it had was the other one there, Aether Gusts.
Well, that's against red and green. That doesn't help against blue.
It's not going to help against, I think the thinking is that it's just too damn fast for, and it is, it's fast for control.
Yeah, but
there's almost no way that, you know,
well,
okay.
I mean, you know, they cast all that stuff, control player untaps and shatters the sky.
True.
You know, they still have access to Wrathifax, they still have access to Teferi. They'll eventually get to Agent of Treachery and be like, oh, nice Garuda, yoink.
Yeah, Agent of Treachery is the
That card's more popular now.
Yeah, I'm thinking very seriously about trying to get, you know, There's a spell that gives, maybe it's a white one, so maybe it won't work, that gives Hexproof if it comes in. Like, that would not be horrible in the sideboard, especially if you know you're playing an Agent of Treachery.
Yeah.
You know?
But going,
you know, it's...
Going back to Limited for a second.
Yeah, sorry.
I mentioned it before. I was watching some matches online, and Crystalline Giant, I think that's...
Oh, Crystalline Giant's ridiculous.
I think that card is constructed playable.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think it is, because if you can protect it for just a couple of turns, and you know, if you get lucky with the dice roll and it gets hexproof, but in Limited, my God, that thing wins so many games on its own.
I drafted it.
That
right?
card
I sealed
is ridiculous.
It was in my sealed deck, and I was like, oh, this seems kind of cool. And then I was like reading it, and I was like, oh, dear God, this goes in no matter what color I'm doing.
Yeah, this it's is, a 3-3 for 3, which is already great. And then if you're lucky, the first random ability is helpful. And here's a
great... It's on the screen now, yep. So they can take a look.
Here's a great tip for you guys. If you're playing it in paper and you have access to a tablet and it's not like a really high REL level event, somebody made a website, crystallinegiant.com, where you can track the counters and actually do the random ability. I'm not even kidding.
No kidding.
Punch it in. It's there. crystallinegiant.com. There you go.
No shit.
Yep. And as you hit roll and just it does your thing and it doesn't repeat.
Menace. Lifelink. Oh, because it can't repeat, right?
Yeah, it can't repeat. There's the hexproof. You win.
Yeah. Wow.
For 3 mana, I mean, the fact that you can get a 3-3 flying first strike hexproof reach, death touch, lifelink, everything, kitchen sink, you know, do your taxes.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's such a pushed card. I mean, it's not as overpowered and absurd as Dream Trawler, but it's pretty close.
Takes your mother Dorothy Mantooth out for a nice steak dinner.
Yeah, and doesn't bring her back.
Yeah, you didn't see Anchorman. Dorothy Mantooth is a saint! I still love that movie. If you have more than one out, they both get the same counter, though. Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, it's a bugged on Arena.
Oh, okay.
So.
Okay, good. I was like, wow, that seems like that wouldn't be the right call.
Although, but technically, that is random. It's not.
Technically?
It's not. But yeah, that's even still, as long as you're getting the hexproof one pretty early on, you're pretty happy.
Yeah.
You're pretty happy.
Like, so what is the other companion you think? Like, you were trying to tell me, like, you know, I think Garuda is the main awful one.
Garuda is the big boogie.
And they're
right
all
now.
Good in limited. I'm not talking limited. Because limited, you get any one of them.
You're playing.
You know, you're, yeah.
If you can play
I got
it,
Obosh the other day, and I'm playing it. I played it because it was worthwhile in my sealed deck. Mm-hmm. But as far as constructed go, I mean, Garuda's going to be a thing.
Garuda's a thing.
I mean, what else do you think is going to be a thing? Like Zerda or?
Loras is going to be a thing. It already is kind of a thing. It's a thing in Legacy. It might, if a Orzhov aggressive deck takes off, then Loras will definitely be a thing because it's very, very good.
Well, yes, what it is, and I can put it, we'll read it because it takes too long to put things on screen. Each permanent card in your starting deck has converted mana cost 2 or less, and it says during each of your turns, you may cast one permanent spell with converted mana cost 2 or less from your graveyard. Oh my god, that would be great in a vamp deck.
Yeah, your dudes don't stay dead. Interestingly enough, and I've seen this happen a few times, the Azorius control decks are playing the Selesnya companion in their sideboard as their companion because they fit the criteria.
Kahira?
Yeah.
Kahira the Orphan Guard. Each creature card in your starting deck is a cat, elemental, nightmare, dinosaur, or beast card?
Yeah.
Oh, that's its limit.
Yep.
And it says each other creature you control that's a cat, elemental, nightmare, dinosaur, or beast gets 1/1 and has vigilance.
Now, here's the thing. You're playing Azorius Control.
Screw you.
You're playing Azorius Control. And how many creatures are in your main deck? 0?
3?
No.
No, it's Azorius Control, Dream Trawler.
You can't. It doesn't fit the criteria.
Oh, you're right. Oh, God.
So that's your creature right there. He just sits there in your sideboard, ready to go whenever you want it, whenever you need it.
Interesting.
Yep. It's definitely a
weird
little
twist. Yeah, but he gets 1/1 and has vigilance. But
he doesn't
give
it to he doesn't give it to himself.
Right.
So he's a 3/2 vigilance.
But I think it'd have to be. I think you'd have to put. What about the? Yeah, cat elemental. Elemental is easy enough.
Nothing that Azorius wants to typically play. So it does is it frees up more slots for them to put more controlling cards in, so that way they always have their creature tucked away from when they need it.
Well,
and it's always in your opening
hand.
No,
you know what? You know what's an elemental is what do you call it? The crap, big guy, the Gale, Cavalier Gales.
Cavalier.
He's
Gales.
An elemental.
Yeah, but I mean. He doesn't really fit what that deck is doing.
No, that's true. Maybe throwing you put a Johnny in.
Like what Miguel was saying, Loras is crazy with Croxa and Rakdos Sacrifice. You cast Croxa every turn.
Yeah. Yeah. Loras is a little nuts.
Yep. And then Karuga, there's a couple of decks that I've seen posted that use him in the use him in their sideboard as her companion, because there's like a Fires Planeswalker deck that does that. So basically, you know, when you cast him, hey, you've got seven permanents on the board. Let me draw seven cards.
Right. And actually, it's another thing. You know what else is becoming a deck again? You know what I've seen out there? Izzet Phoenix.
There's a variation of Izzet Phoenix that's trying to make a comeback, which I think is really cool.
And I've played it, and it's not horrible. No. Like, it's, like, still a little... It's not... It's no Garuda. Like, when I started playing Garuda, I'm like, I want to play this.
It's gotten the boost, so it's competitive again.
Right.
It's competitive, which is, right now, all you really want. And I think... Right. There's also a Dimir Flash deck. The Dimir Flash got tons of toys. So
Dimir Flash did, yeah.
There's some good stuff. I mean, this set is really shaking things up a lot more than we thought it would. So, you know, we're gonna have to see where this leads.
Yeah, I'm very excited. So, you know, that the companion. Here's the thing. I don't know how much. Like I said, okay. So there are 10 companions. It looks to me for Constructed, I'll say there's four. There's four in Constructed. Everything else is kind of...
Well, the Azorius one is also very playable. It's also very, very good. Yorion is also very good.
Well, I mean, it's your starting deck contains at least 20 cards more than the minimum deck size. Mm-hmm. So 80-card deck.
Yep.
When it enters the battlefield, exile any number of other non-land permanents you own and control. Return those cards to the battlefield at the beginning of the next turn. So it's a blink deck.
It's a blink deck, and it's a massive ETB blink.
You know, Yorion with Garuda and Thassa. Mm-hmm.
Agent of Treachery.
No, you can't put Agent of Treachery. Well, if Garuda... Oh, it's your companion, yeah.
If Yorion's your companion, damn. Yeah. You got and plus, even on its face, it's what, a 5-4 flyer for 5?
Yeah, so no, it's 4-5.
4-5, still, that's solid. That's a solid beater.
That's not... Man, that might be kind of fun just to blue and play around with.
Companion is solidly... That... You're going to see companion decks until this rotates in standard, because there is no reason not to play a companion if you can build your deck around its restriction. Because, right. Again, like we were talking about last week, you're starting with an extra card in your hand every game. And even if you mulligan, it's basically a free mulligan.
Right. So I'm definitely, you know, I'm not willing to say mea culpa yet. I'm just saying jury's still going to sit out. Yeah,
it's early.
I got to put the jury out on that, because I mean, again, and you know, there's just too much going on. But then let's talk about the other big mechanic that we thought was going to be bigger than I think it is: mutation. And now mutation is almost 100%, limited. It's almost the other way. I haven't seen mutation yet out there in Constructed very much. Have you?
Not yet. But
I think Garuda is kind of making people play Garuda, though.
Well, yeah, so. I think the hype train right now is on the companions, because right now they're more broken. There's only a couple of the mutate cards where you're really like, oh my god, this is crazy. One of them is Broko, because you know it basically never dies as long as you have another non-human on the board.
Right.
There is the teamer one that basically gets you free cards when it comes into play.
Right.
And then there's a green one that does a similar effect. So the ones that can cast you free stuff are the ones that I think would be the most abusable, but they're all pretty expensive
It seems like it's a really more of a... Because sealed, and at least the sealed deck I played, not fast games. They were, you know, you weren't really... You were getting some stuff out, small little chumpy stuff, but nothing started happening on this until turn four. Turn four, usually everybody's game started...
There is an aggressive Orzhov Humans deck archetype in Limited that is very fast. I got curved out on turn 4 or 5 in one of my seals on it. It was crazy. He had the general, the legendary Orzhov general.
Oh, that general's a pain in my ass.
Oh my god, it was nuts. I was like, well, I'm dead. I got to cast one spell.
That was fun.
Let's do that again.
All right, let's. You know what? Let's. Because we're getting we're at 40 minutes, so let's go to combat.
Combat phase.
Okay, so our combat phase tonight, it's kind of coming out of this this information that just happened this weekend. Because we're talking about Garuda, and Garuda actually resulted in MTGO becoming broken. And
oopsie.
Basically, Garuda has a ban right now in MTGO for all formats. Only MTGO. You still can play it in an arena, thank Christ. But it's banned in MTGO because it broke Rust in Peace and it broke
Leyline of the Void.
Like, it's like everything broken. And I forget how it happened. I read the technical article and I wasn't totally up exactly what was going on.
It's a ruling. It's the way the rules work. Garuda's ability tracks the card where it's going, not where it ends up.
Right.
So I think it doesn't play nice with the way Leyline of the Void and Rest in Peace work, because it's a replacement effect. But it's like, oh, but it was going to go to the graveyard, so I need to still watch where these are going. Whereas if it was worded, pick one from the graveyard, then you'd be able to, it would work correctly, but it's saying choose one of those cards, meaning the cards that were taken off the top of your library. So it's tracking those cards as it goes to exile.
Exactly. So it's definitely...
It's not something
that most
people... It broke
stuff, and they were like, oh, dear God.
Yeah, and if this was happening in paper, it definitely would have been a judge call every single time. Because it's like, it's one of those things where you're like, okay, well, it's supposed to go to the graveyard, and it's exiled, so it shouldn't work, but it does?
Right, because it says, when Garuda enters the battlefield, each player puts the top four cards of their library into their graveyard.
Right.
And Rest in Peace says nothing can go to the graveyard, right?
If a card would go to the graveyard, exile it instead. And Leyline of the Void says the same thing for your opponent's cards. But with Garuda, you can still steal your opponent's creatures.
Right. So because, it's kind
of... Because Garuda's second line of text is choose one from among those cards, I believe.
Yeah, so it's definitely... It's interesting. Leyline of the Void, same thing.
Yeah.
You know, so... Yeah, because I'm taking a look at some of the Gatherer stuff, and... Oh, yeah, because it says right here, if a card is discarded while Rust in Peace is on the battlefield, abilities that function when a card is discarded, such as Madness, still work, even though that card never reaches a graveyard.
Yeah, because Madness is one, it says if you discard it to exile, right. And it's a special zone, but Garuda does something a little bit different.
Right, so this is going to be... This is really... Yeah. This is going to be something.
it got messed up, and they're trying to fix it. I imagine they'll have it hot fixed.
They're saying like sometime this week.
Yeah.
So
it's a temporary thing, but it's one of those things where you go, yeah, this is why Magic Arena's coding is superior.
but it got us thinking, me and Aramis, and basically our combat today is, what if any is going to be banned out of this set, or as a result of this set? We can go either way. I can make the case right now that if Garuda becomes a deck, I don't think they'll hit Garuda. I think they're going to hit Spark Double.
That's too narrow. I think that's too
narrow. It's the win con of that deck.
Garuda's really the win con, if you think about it, because you're copying
Garuda.
Yeah,
Garuda's the win con, but Garuda can... With Spark Double, you can have 8 instead of 4. You can still survive out of 4. Well, 5 on the battlefield. You could have 5 on the battlefield at one time. Well, what I did today was I had 2 Thassas. And then 2 Garudas. So I'm like, bing, 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 bing.
Yeah.
Although only 1 Thassa triggers for some strange reason, because it says at the start. I don't know why it didn't. It might be an arena.
That might be a bug. They should both trigger.
Yeah, I would think they would both trigger, because I was like, wait a second. This second, the Spark Double should have triggered. And, yeah.
Yeah.
But still, the guy still left. He was like, nope, I'm done.
because it's just really hard to stop that deck. From what I've seen, they'll find a way. Yeah. So you're thinking a card. You're thinking Spark Double gets banned.
If they don't want to ban Garuda, they could ban Garuda, but I could see them trying to avoid banning Garuda or anything out of this set. They'd rather ban Spark Double, which is going to go away in the fall anyway.
Well, considering they've banned cards in pretty much every set since Core Set,
right?
I wouldn't be shocked either if they ended up banning something. If I had to pick, I mean, fast mana is always a problem. I don't think they ban any mana dorks or anything like that. I could see Garuda having some serious discussions about whether or not it sticks around. But I think I'm going to go the other direction. I think they're going to leave it alone this time. I think they break the streak. So I think they might actually go through the rest of this set. Let it go through its thing and not ban anything.
Well, I think part of this, I mean, not having live events, that could help. Because part of why they did all the bannings was the every event with Oko, when Oko was live, all the decks were Oko, or Field of the Dead, or Golos, or, you know. So I get that, but I think, yeah, if somebody can't break the code on stopping Garuda, if we're already, if Garuda's already going this far out in front, and it hasn't been broken yet, like, it's good, but it hasn't been busted yet. If somebody finds the one card that's standard legal right now that can bust it, they're gone.
I think there's too many answers right now. I think, especially, I mean, obviously that means you're probably going to have to be playing blue, but I mean, you know, there's Essence Scatter. There is, Gravedigger's Cage doesn't work on it. There's a new card I think that says that creatures can only be cast from your hand. I forget. Maybe that, I don't know if that's a commander card or not.
But this isn't casting it. This is just putting it out there.
No, when you cast it as your companion, you're casting the card. It's a spell. It has all the same rules as a spell. You can only cast it when you.
I thought you meant it's a trigger.
No, not the trigger. Well, you can stop the trigger with Tail's End.
Right.
Because it's a legendary.
True.
Actually, you could counter it with Tail's End because it's a legendary. But you can stop its triggered ability with Tail's End, which is, you know, that's an obscure answer, but it is an answer. It's pretty damn powerful right now, but I don't think they're going to ban it. Or at least not yet. Obviously, it's way too early.
I hope they don't.
I kind of hope they don't.
I don't want a ban. I'm tired of bans.
I think we need to get to rotation. I mean, especially since the set's not going to be out in paper until May, at least.
And here's the thing. Okay, we're coming into the freaking bane of my existence. That's a good point, man. They gave a lot of tools to Blue. And now we're going into Teferi Land. God damn it.
I love where we're going. I don't know what your problem is. Give me more nope cards.
Yuck. So, if they're going to ban anything, I would say that. But, you know,
I'm not
time's going to tell on that. I don't think we can tell who won. But, you know, that's kind of my thinking. You're probably right. I don't think they're going to ban anything for a while. I don't think they'll ban anything until things start firing again.
Yeah, until they start...
Until they start seeing decks, because even Arena, you can't, you know...
It's easy to do it in Arena. They have their suspend list. Ooh.
Well, I don't think that they want to do anything in Arena right now anyway.
No, it's like, way too soon. The set's technically only been out... Technically not even really out yet, but it's only been out in Arena for, what, a week? If that, 3 days? So, you know, it's way too early to tell. Give it a few weeks. We'll see how oppressive things get. I'm sure that the deck will get hated out of the meta, or at least, you know, there'll be answers found for it. So I think we're good.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. Here's an answer is, what do you call it? Ashiok, the original, the first one. Get rid of the graveyard. No, it doesn't shut him off when he triggers his ability, but it shuts off a few, you know, it gets it out of the graveyard.
Possibly.
You know?
Yeah, possibly. That's kind of narrow, too.
It's a narrow, but somebody had it on me today, and I dealt with it. I'm like, I don't want to screw with this.
Well, you have to, because, I mean, it could also take care of a 30-year deck by itself.
And it doesn't let... Yeah,
And so it doesn't let you search, you. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's the big thing. Not letting me search. Like, damn it, I had two freaking... the fetch lands that are out there right now, and I was like, no, I'm not falling for this.
Oh, so, the Fabled Passages?
Yeah, Fabled Passage. So, all right, well, let's get back into main two. That was a nice quick combat.
Main phase.
All right, so main two, we're going to talk a little bit more about Arena tonight. So, yeah, Aaron, we did kind of touch on it, but Sealed and Draft, you didn't get to play this weekend.
I got to play Sealed, not Draft.
Yeah. Yeah, and how'd you do in your Sealed? I mean...
I had the two tokens, so I played them both. I forgot to save my second deck list, and I feel bad because it was one of those decks where it went 4-3, but I felt like it could have easily gone 7-0, because I had the what was his name, the Apex of Death,
ooh,
and a couple other cards to like recur him and everything else, and it was absurd. Like the power on this deck was really high, but I did lose one game to Mana Screw. I ran into that Orzhov aggro deck in one of the games, and then the other game that I lost was just, you know, it was a close game, and I just didn't draw my answers. I didn't draw my outs. But it went 4-3, and I was like, all right, that's fine. But the first deck that I opened, actually had Lutri, the Spell Chaser, as my companion, which is funny because that was the card that I was mentioning last week that I liked so much because he was cute. So I had my Elemental Otter. I got to use his ability a few times for great effect because I also had the Mythos of, what the heck is the name of the red Apex, the one that the Jeskai one that deals 5 damage as you choose to 2 targets. So I got to copy that a couple times and like wipe people's boards. It was really great. And I ended up going 6-3 with that deck. I had a really good time.
Well, that's, I did really well. I think I went 5-3 with red, black, mutate. And I did get to play the companion a few times. I didn't have him as my companion. I had him in the deck. I managed to get him.
Oh, I had him in my deck too.
It was really hard to limit. His companion, his thing is like, it has to be like
odd converted mana costs.
Yeah. So, and I just didn't have enough odds to do it. So
that's fine.
But I did have the white card that says if you spend black and red and mutate or whatever that to cast this, that black, so I had those two together and they really worked.
That's Mythos of Snapdax, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I had that. So and I also had the Crystalline. So yeah, I was a good deck. I did really, like I said, 5-2 both time, or 5-3 both. All three I lost were pretty much, they were rolling some sort of wacky, or I got mana screwed. I got wacky aggro once and mana screwed twice. But it is what it is. I mean, we'll play it at some point. We might play Friday, Wednesday night. We'll, you and I will go against each other with our sealed decks.
Sure.
So.
Yeah.
I definitely want to get into a draft. Somebody was in the chat saying they did a bunch of drafts this weekend and it was a lot of fun. So. I think it was Steven, so. But it's really, I'm excited to do it. I'm glad that they're trying to find new ways other than just construct it all day to kind of encourage us to play Arena a little bit. Mm-hmm. So
I am still looking forward to the cube drafting.
Yeah. And here's the other thing. They have definitely stepped up the daily deals in the store. And I mean, we talked a little bit about it last week, that the Master Pass is not what it was. It is not good. It is not a good bargain. I have it. But I'm not happy about it. It's like Call of Duty's like pass. You're like, you don't feel good when you do it. But you're like, well, shit, I gotta do it. Yeah. So, I've got it. I'm running it. It's okay. But it's not, But what they've done is, like, this week they had, at one point it was, I think it was 10,000 gold for a, or 8,000 gold for a token. Mm-hmm. You can only get one. And then the other one was like something like 200 gems for like...
I think someone mentioned it in the chat. It was like 2,000 gold for 500 gems.
Yeah. Like, it was just crazy stuff like that where I'm just like, you know what? This makes sense. And I think they even offered a Planeswalker card or something crazy in there. Like, for like a... It was like, okay, I'm in. Especially if this is how they're going to do a card store. Like, I think that's what we all want at some point. It's like, the wild cards are great, but if you need 4-of-1 card, like, and you just want to get the one card and you don't have any mythic wild cards, then, it would be nice to be able to just go and buy the cards you need. So, I don't know.
No, I like that idea. Like, have sort of like singles in the store.
Yeah.
Although I don't know that they would do that because, they make a lot more money selling packs.
Well, no, I think you'd still sell packs. Yeah, I think they would always sell packs. I don't stop buying boosters. Like, and people aren't buying a ton of packs anyway. Most people buy packs in draft now. How many people buy boosters a lot? Like, they buy it in draft, and I don't think that's going to stop. And I think that's why they might be selling cards in there individually. Is they're like, look, they're going to get them in draft.
Could be, yeah.
So I'm hopeful, but I mean, we can be pretty critical with them, and this is a good thing that they're doing. I'm kind of okay with it, and I hope they do keep it up.
Yeah, I think there was one point where I was able to get, it was like a card style, whatever it was, but it was normally like 2,000 gold or whatever, or gems or whatever the heck it was, and I got it for like 250 gold, and I'm like, sure, I'll take that. 250 gold? Where do I sign?
Absolutely.
Like 97% off.
Yeah, it was a really worthwhile thing. I'm pretty happy with what they've been doing with that. And now what I want to do is I do want to pivot a little bit because I'll show it on my screen here. You know, we are midway, or we are almost through with round one of our Win a Box set. All right. So as you guys know, you know, we came up with this idea, and we have eight guys playing to win the box. So the you know, winner in an arena match, you know, it's just a single elimination. So three out of four have played. So I'm going to just put this up on the screen. But here's where we're at right now is, you know, let's see, share. Showing. So as you guys can see right here, we've got, you know, SCP. So Ian and Black Mage have yet to play. All right. But Steve took out Zach. So, and as I understand it, it was barely a contest. D-Link, who's the guy giving it to one of the students here, he did beat Walter. And as I understand it, according to Walter, that was a pretty thorough trouncing. And then Wombat and George fought last night, and they had, I guess, a really good time, really good match. I'm loving the way that everybody is kind of enjoying just playing against each other and going to the rooms and, you know, all that stuff. Like, they're going into the rooms and, you know, using the chat, which is what it's for. So if you guys want, on our Discord channel, feel free to pop in. You know, on, and I'll put those in the show notes, but we do have a Discord, and there are eight tables in there. Now, the first four are kind of reserved for those guys, but feel free, man. If you guys are playing a match with somebody, and you guys get, you know, be like, hey, go here, and we can at least voice chat. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of cool. I definitely recommend it. So Ian and his opponent are going to be playing each other as soon as possible. Ian's been, you know, I think Ian's going through some stuff, but he's, you know, I've been in touch with him. He's contacted me, and they're going to figure it out. So he's got till Wednesday morning. So, you know, we'll know once that's done, then I, you know, we'll go on to round two. So almost immediately. So, and Zach's saying, combine lower tier wild cards and cash them in for rare mythic. Yes, or dusting.
Yeah, dusting, please.
Oh, wow. The third game of me and Steve's match was literally us drawing every land in our decks.
The flood is real.
So there is that. So other than that, the last thing we got tonight is we only have one email this week, other than the results, obviously. So we only got one email this week, and it was from our, you know, our boy Walter. He doesn't miss an opportunity, which is great. And he just basically he wrote in and he said, hey, guys, how you doing? I just want to thank you guys for making the tournament happen, even though I lost. It was a good time to talk about Magic and meet new people. The guy I faced was really cool, and he kicked my butt. I did stream it, but I didn't have my past broadcast save set up. So, and when I found it on my computer, my screen had my ending stream screen on. So all it was the audio. But I fixed it, and when we do an FNM or something, we could stream it this time. Good. He's been playing the new set, and he's very hyped over it. He has an ultimate Fires deck. That's an interesting idea. I think Fires is not going to be as big now. Maybe I'm wrong.
Jeskai Fires looks pretty good.
Yeah.
Jeskai Fires.
I had to create the Garuda deck, which is insanely good. What decks have you guys tried to create? In answer to that, I did try to do an Azorius Flyers deck because that also got some toys. Nope, not stable enough. Sorry. Thanks for playing.
And I'm a filthy net decker, so.
Yeah, I did an Azorius Blink deck too. I tried to play around with that. I'm like, eh. Then it pushed me to Garuda, and that was where I was like, and I also did an Izzet Phoenix. And the Izzet Phoenix, I'm having fun with it. Like, it's a fun deck to play. It's not going to win you every time, but it's fun to play.
It looks pretty good.
Did you build anything or no?
I have not had a chance to build anything. Like I said, I'm a filthy net decker, so I'm waiting for the dust to settle and see what comes out on top. That's control-ish, of course.
Yes. Of course it is, because you're a dirty, rotten
control player. I'm a dirty, rotten control player, and I'm not ashamed of that.
Yeah, Steve's saying they drew eight land each. So that was good. So, Walter, thanks for writing in. I just checked. We have no iTunes reviews. Guys, listen, you got to put some reviews in, man. We want to give away some more cards this month. So, but I think with that, I think that's everything, unless you got something else going on.
Nope, just looking forward to new developments, see what else comes out of the woodwork here.
All right, then we might as well.
End step.
All right, we're going into end step, and while we're picking up our play mats and rolling them up, grabbing the cards, putting them in the boxes, and grabbing the pizza boxes and putting them by the trash, because damn it, your mother still does not work here. Both Aramis and I would like to remind you that we stream Arena on the Planeswalkers Podcast channel on Twitch. Just look up Planeswalkers Podcast. You can also follow me on Twitch at Mindcrime73. But here's the thing, guys. Since I'm kind of like the guy who has all the tech, If I'm streaming on there, so you're better off even just to look there. But you can find me at Mindcrime73.
Totally true. You can also find me on Twitch at RMECWRX. Anytime that I stream, I also try to boot it up on the Planestalkers podcast channel as well. So we'll be, you know, I'll be on both both channels at the same time. So RMECWRX on Twitch. But if Twitter is more your speed and you want to check in on the show, you can find us at PlanestalkerPod on Twitter.
And my personal Twitter is at WR Benson, but really I'm only on there every once in a while. I'm just kind of trying to, you know, I sit there and kind of sort of pseudo online cyber stalk my favorite celebrity ever, which is Justin Bieber. And, you know, and I follow, I'm a believer. I am. I'm just a believer. I love him. He's the best ever.
Wow. All credibility lost. All credibility.
Yes. Dead. Ow! I got hit. My wife walked by and hit me because she loves, she has believer fever. So she loves Justin Bieber. She wants to marry him.
I'm sorry.
So, but you can definitely follow me on Twitter. It's at WR Benson. Or even better, follow us on our Facebook page. We broadcast there every week. If you're listening to the audio podcast, you can watch us record it live with bad green screen and everything. Just go to facebook.com/planestalker. It's not planestalkers because we took that last S off and we wanted to give you some savings. So, and like and follow our page there and you can follow us around.
Finally, you can send us emails and even ask for advice in our Ask Aramis section, where I can offer you tips on anything from deck construction to limited choices. Or you can just send an email just to tell us how we're doing, if you have a suggestion for the show, or you just want to tell us a story about, you know, a match that you played last week. And to send us an email, our address is podcast@planestalkerspodcast.com.
And Walter, you're not kidding. He's like, that FML beer makes you tell your feelings, LMLL. Yes, maybe you can see it at the bottom. It says 8.5% alcohol by volume. It's a double IPA.
That explains so much.
So, we want to thank you guys for that. I want to remind you guys, I do host another podcast. It deals with the television show DC's Legends of Tomorrow, which comes back this week, so I'll be recording next Sunday. It's called Legends TV Talk. You can find us on Facebook at Legends TV Talk. Don't forget, guys, we do have an iTunes review contest going on. We haven't gotten very many this month. In fact, we haven't gotten any this month. You're in it till you win it, so... you know, once you win, you can't win again. But what we do is, if you leave us a review in iTunes, we enter you in for a drawing. It doesn't have to be 5 stars, but dear God, make it 5 stars. But we enter you in for the drawing. We'll draw your name and we'll send you some arena packs. So go there, iTunes.com. If you don't have an iPhone, you can just download iTunes and leave a review in there. It's totally worthwhile. But with that, I want to say thank you guys again for hanging out with us tonight. We had a good time. We'll be back next Monday night, right around the 8 o'clock hour Eastern time, where we'll be talking about all sorts of crazy stuff. We are going to get to the Magic 101, but there was just so much Ikoria stuff that we pushed it off another week. But we will be ready with that next week. That's going to be our thing going forward and for a little while. But for Aramis Perez, this is Will Benson saying again, thank you for being listeners and hanging out with us. We hope you guys have a great week. Stay safe, stay with your families, and don't forget to always leave some of your mana untapped, because you never know when you'll need it. Take care and have a great week. Bye-bye.